In this 21st century, Christianity has lost the power and the drive and the influence and the motivation of first century Christianity. By comparing 21st century Christianity with first century Christianity, we discover that there is a vast difference indeed. This is an age of anemic churchianity and Christianity. We are in great need of a special blood transfusion. We need to get back to the old bank of the cross. We need to return to the Bible, and we need a Christ-centered cross dominated Christianity. That's the great need of today. Paul gives us the answer to the secret of the success of first century Christianity and the remedy for the situation which has developed today. He wrote words that are very plain here, words that are uncompromising and crystal clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. But," verse 23, "we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Verse 24, "But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Here indeed is the answer to the great need of today and the great need of the church and the great need of the people of our land. I want us to think about the preaching of the cross. And first of all, let us look at the definition of the cross. There are people throughout the world today, especially those under Roman influence, and they claim that they possess actual pieces of Christ's cross. And because there are so many claims, if they were all taken seriously and added up, there would be enough wood to make hundreds, yea, thousands of crosses. But we know that these are fake claims, and nothing is true. Paul makes it crystal clear that it is not the wood of the cross that matters. It is not the wood of the cross that saves, which we know to be true. It is the work of the cross. It is the work that Christ finished on that cross, completed by the laying down of his life, a ransom for sinners, by shedding his blood that men and women might be cleansed from their sin. The only actual definitive description of the place where Jesus Christ died is a tree. That's the New Testament description of the cross, a tree. It was Peter who was preaching on the day of Pentecost. And in the early chapters of Acts, he accuses his audience. And he points the finger pointedly. And he says this, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." That was pointed preaching. That was personal preaching. He didn't hold back. He didn't fear man. He was obeying God and preaching the message that God gave him. And he says, ye slew him and ye hanged him on the tree. That's the message Peter preached. And then in writing, he wrote something similar. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he says this, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. On the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And then Paul declares, these great apostles, these great preachers of the New Testament, Paul declares in verse 18 of our scripture reading, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. And then he defines what that cross is and what its preaching is. He states very plainly in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. It is not the material of the cross. It is the making of atonement that mattered to the Apostle Paul, which is the cross as defined and declared by the apostles of the New Testament. And today, with the great help of God and by the grace of God, we still preach Christ crucified. Cross, then, is that final, that all-sufficient, never to be repeated, saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the accursed tree. That sacrifice whereby, through the shedding of his most precious blood, divine blood, the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished salvation for all those who put their trust in him. And I'm glad there was a day in my life, at the age of 14, when I put my trust in Jesus Christ and accepted that all-sufficient sacrifice, that blood-cleansing sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. Oh, I wonder, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's the only cross that Paul knew. That's the only cross that Paul preached. That's the only cross that entered his mind. That is the only cross he proclaimed. That is the only cross Paul gloried in. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says in chapter 15 of this book, verse 1. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul preached the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the saving power of Christ. This is the Christ he uplifted and preached throughout his entire ministry. May God help us to continue that work of lifting up Jesus Christ and presenting him to the gaze of sinners. Just like the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, and Moses cried to the people who were dying of the poison of the serpent as a result of having been bitten. He cried to them, look to the serpent on the pole, that serpent of brass, and thou shalt live. Thank God tonight there is life for a look at the crucified one. The one lifted up on the tree, who died on that tree to save guilty lost sinners who are perishing in their sins, that they might not go to hell, but rather be saved from the jaws of damnation and go at last to heaven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The cross, the definition of the cross. Paul preached the cross of Christ. Then there is the distinction of the cross. Paul proclaimed that Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He wasn't commissioned to be a sacramental preacher. And there are many who believe in sacramental salvation today. We think of poor, benighted, misled, misguided Roman Catholics who believe in sacramental redemption. We believe in, we think of apostate Protestantism, who also believes that they're saved through baptism. God didn't send Paul to baptize. He sent him to preach the cross of Christ, to preach the blood of the Lamb, to preach salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. And Paul preached that message, and he preached the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And friend, don't miss the cross. Don't depend on baptism for salvation. Don't depend on good works to get you to heaven. Don't depend on church connection or any kind of religious observance. My dear friend, it's all a failure when it comes to entry into heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. No man can come to the Father but by me. And if we miss that way, there's no other way. It's a narrow way. It could be easily missed, blinded by this world, by materialism, by pleasure, by sin, by our indulgence in the things of the world, blinded by the devil. My dear friend, how we need the scales to fall from our eyes, to be taken away by God, for the Holy Spirit to work and to bring deep conviction of sin to the heart and to show men and women where they're bound, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have gone out of the way. And my friend, you need salvation. You need Christ. You need the work of the cross in your heart. You need to come and experience it and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and your personal Savior. The cross defined. And then there's the cross, there's the declaration of the cross. The only divinely appointed way for setting forth the cross is by preaching. Paul was commissioned by God to preach the word. Every preacher is sent forth to preach the word. And you can know a true or genuine preacher. If he's not preaching the word, then he's not sent by God. But if he's on fire for the Lord, and he's preaching Christ, and he's true to the word, then you can accept it that he's sent by the Lord. He's God's messenger in the message that God has given. There's far too many today who stand up and they're not sent by God. And that leads to apostasy, to compromise, to sin, and a departure which will one day be final in departing from the Lord. How sad. How tragic. How tragic. It's good to sit under a ministry that preaches the Word of God. W.P. Nicholson was a great preacher. He was a very witty kind of man. And he encouraged people who were saved to not sit under a dead preacher. He said, newly hatched chickens, if they were sitting under a dead hen, they wouldn't live. They would perish. And my friends, spiritually speaking, it's true. It's true. We need the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross. We need to hear it. We need to love it. We need to live it. We need to imbibe it in our souls. And we need to teach it and show it to others. Oh, I wonder, are you living for the preaching of the cross? Are you living for Christ? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Do you love Him with all your soul and strength and mind? And is Jesus your all in all? I trust He is. You notice verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And then he goes on in chapter 2, verse 4 to say, for my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration and power of the Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, he says, with great plainness of speech, I was among you. Paul wasn't afraid with plainness of speech to preach Christ and the cross. Sin is lawlessness. It's a violation of God's commandments. God's law is summarized in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And they tell us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that true in your experience? It tells us that thou shalt not make any graven image. Is that true? And then it tells us, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Is that true? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is that true? Honor thy father and thy mother. Have you done that? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. You might say, I haven't broken all of those. But the Bible tells me and it tells you that if we offend in one point, we are guilty of all. And if you have offended in one, you've broken the lot. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, during His ministry here on earth, He adds to that. And He said that, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. He says this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And as we measure ourselves against the words of Christ, surely we have to confess failure. We have to say we're guilty. We have broken the law of God. We're violators, transgressors, rebels against God. And oh, the need of the heart is deep and great. And only Christ, who kept the law perfectly, scrupulously, only Christ could become the sacrifice for sinners and take the sinner's place, become his substitute and die in his stead. And then, by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, having died to put my sins away, he imputes to me, by trust in him, he imputes his salvation, his righteousness, and he makes me clean by the cleansing of his blood. What a salvation. What provision is provided for the guilty? He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The transgression of my sin was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. The cross, the tree, is an instead of me sacrifice. Jesus took my place, and he died for me. Oh, why was he there, said the hymn writer, as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, or why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing flood? If by dying my debt was not paid, look, look and live. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this too. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Paul wrote, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If we move on, if we look at the preaching of the cross, we can see the despising of the cross. People despise the preaching of the cross. They have no time for this bloodthirsty preaching. They have no time for such doctrine. And they cast it aside. It's still an offense to many, as it was to the Jews. They couldn't accept it. It was a stumbling block to them and an offense to the Greeks. And oh, how it is still a stumbling block to so many. They can't see it. They despise it. And in despising the cross, they're despising Christ, the Son of God, who loved this world of sinners, lost and ruined by the fall. And this salvation, full at highest cost, he's offering free to all who will come. And yet many are despising it. Are you despising it? Have you, up to this moment in your life, cast it aside and said, I will not have Christ in my heart? Thank God you can repent tonight. A proud sinner at the cross loses his pride, and humbly, like the publican, smites his breast and cries out, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, may we see you at the cross tonight, coming as a sinner. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him now. Despise not the cross. Reject not its message. Become not its enemy. For whosoever shall fall on this stone, Jesus said, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That's the word of the Lord. This is not the word of the Free Presbyterian Church or a preacher. we are preaching the cross of Christ. We're preaching Christ crucified, the only remedy for sin. And in closing, let us look at the dynamic of the cross. In other words, the power of the cross. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so this cross that we preach is a powerful cross. It's a wise cross. It's the cross where Jesus died. Oh, come with me tonight and visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. It's full, it's deep and wide. Come tonight to Calvary. Oh, here we have a living Savior dying, that a dying sinner might live. What mercy, what love, what grace is here. Oh, it's good to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's good to experience His mercy, reaching down from the highest heaven to the lowest hell to lift the sinner and to save him by His grace. Oh, what a strong arm He has. It's strong and powerful to save. Oh, let Him lift you. We were singing, He took me from the miry pit and from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my going. Let Him do that tonight. His arm is still strong. It's still powerful to save. And may you feel its power lifting you out of the miry pit and bringing you to the rock. Christ is that rock. What a standing you'll have in Christ. What a position for all eternity. And nothing shall be able to take you out of His hand. That's the salvation we proclaim. We're powerless to do anything, but thank God, He is all powerful and He's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. Will you not come? Come now. Come tonight. Don't delay. Close in with Christ. Take Him as your own and personal Savior. We're going